Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So Nigel tells me that my obsession, because I'm not obsessed yet, but my desire to get my hands on a 1960 or 61 Edsel Citation, that you might be able to help with this.
I'm trying to talk you out of it, to be honest.
Really? Why?
I mean, if you want a car, I can drive. Well, because first of all, you got a restaurant, you got the abandoned house next door, and you want an old car.
Well,
who's
I could.
Who's your financial advisor, Lenny Dykes?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then. From an as-yet undisclosed location on the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland, we're on the air with Barry Zwerluga and Leon Harris. Michael Kornheiser, Nigel runs the board, and we'll do news later. We will have Pat Forty. We will have Andy Greenwald. We are loaded today with a show, which is good because I don't have any particular beginning. What I want to do is read from a letter that I received about a week ago from Jerry Humphreys. And Jerry Humphreys, I believe, works for the J. Lohr Vineyards and Wines.
I know Jerry. Good
you
guy.
Know Jerry Humphreys?
Yes, I do.
Well, then this will be something that will not shock you that much. A long-time loyal little first-time mailer, I will hang up and listen for your response. Love the new podcast. Sounds just like the radio version. Amazing. Just wanted to drop you and two of my favorites, Edith McManus and Leon the Man Harris, some adult refreshments as I was out of steak knives. Ran into Carlos of La Cheeserie fame at our local hardware store. Almost as thrilling as discovering a two-bathroom hotel room. Do not mention my name as my colleague Davis in South Carolina. Another loyal little would be insanely jealous. And then he writes, Ed and Michael Sands can vouch for my wines and me. That's for Leon. I hand this across. That's absolutely for you. No, this
get out of here.
Really? He said to give you one and to give McManus one.
Get out of here.
So there you go.
Jerry always. I've emceed the March of Dimes signature chef's dinner every year for like the last 13 years. And Jerry has always been a very enthusiastic participant. They bring in 34 different chefs from around town, and they prepare their best dishes or whatever. And then you have some people like Jerry who show up with these great wines.
You see my honesty, because you would have found out that you know him, and he would have said, did he ever give you the wine?
I would have busted you.
And there you have the wine. You're also receiving packages of, what is this other package of goodies that you got?
Thanks to Ken Babby from the Akron Rubber Ducks, the AA affiliate.
That is the son of Lon Babby, the famous Lon Babby.
I did not know that. In fact, I didn't even know that the AA baseball team in Akron had changed their names. They had been known as the Akron Arrows for the longest, but I think that's back when they were affiliated with the Yankees. They're not with the Cleveland Indians.
Famous for being Ducks, the Cleveland Ducks.
Built a great stadium in downtown Akron. The only thing downtown Akron now that's not affiliated with Akron University. So thanks, Ken. Appreciate it, man.
So what did you get?
Gave me, what is this? We got
a
couple of hats.
Yeah.
And a nice microfiber golf shirt that the kind of thing I think should be on the TK Show website at some point.
Okay. You want Michael to make golf shirts.
You got to get golf shirts. What is this? Another
shirt? It's another golf shirt. So that's really
shirts,
nice.
A couple of hats. So thanks, Ken. I really appreciate
that's
that.
That's really
man.
Good. Well, again,
I'm over here.
Yeah, Barry, you can give one to Barry. The amazing thing
is, I'll give him a shirt, but not the wine.
For
people who grew up in Washington and are
wonderful.
Of a certain age, they remember on WMAL, they remember the Hardin and Weaver show, which in the last 20 years of its existence was just this. People would send stuff in or bake cookies, and they'd spend the entire four-hour show just talking about everything that came over the transom. We also got this. I have a letter here, and this is a lot of gear. We got a lot of gear, and all of it says Tony. And I'm not going to wear it because, I mean, I'm actually Tony. This is from Paul Scolieri. I'm a millennial little working for a garment printing and manufacturing shop in San Francisco. We make apparel and accessories for resale in online stores, much like the one found at shop.tonykornheisershow.com. Is that correct, Michael? That's our website?
I believe so.
So I plugged it by just reading it. When I heard the announcement about the Tony Kornheiser Show store last month, I was behooved to reach out. And taking Steve Young's advice, I'm sending you a box of TK Show swag that we made here at the shop. These are just a few pieces that I think fellow littles would love. And let's be honest, bring in more cash for you to throw at that Money Pit restaurant. There's an idea for a restaurant named the Money Pit. So anyway, our position is we are very grateful for these things, and I see Barry. Barry's going to get some of this gear because he's sitting to my right.
But it says
today.
Tony on it.
But
sorry.
It says Tony. Yeah. But we're contracted, right? Oh,
we have a producer through our distributor, Rob Kolpian. So this is a very generous offer.
Very nice.
We'll keep his name in our catalog, but we do already have a producer.
Very appreciative of that. So I thought I would mention those things. What?
Do you want to do the stuff from the...
No, we're going to hold that for a day. Okay. We can't talk about this just... Okay. Constantly.
But wait, there's more.
these are shirts and hats and towels and stuff like that. And all of this, by the way, reminds me, which is what I was going to talk about today. Last night I make it a habit of going through the dial sometime between 7 and 9, and then a little after 9 to find out if there's some game on that I think I could talk about. And last night there was nothing in particular, although I did land at one point. I landed on a halftime show where the paid analyst was asked to talk about her choices for the best 5 players in the ACC, and amazingly left off the kid from North Carolina State, whose name is?
Derek Smith Jr.?
Yeah, who's going to be a top 5 draftee, that he wasn't on her team, neither was Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen's a great
He's a great college basketball player.
You have to be insane not to understand this.
Yeah. Dennis, I got the first name wrong.
Dennis Smith,
yeah.
Who's great, and these two weren't on the team, which I thought was amazing. Anyway, I didn't find anything that I found compelling enough to watch.
But wait, it was Valentine's Day night.
Yes.
You didn't do like a nice dinner.
I did a very nice dinner. I brought home the food that I got at PTI and I heated it. Oh, I live with someone that doesn't cook.
What a romantic.
Yeah.
Nice touch.
To that end, the official florist of the Tony Kornheiser podcast is Tracy Callahan, a Bethesda florist, and he made sure there were a lot of flowers in the house, which is nice. So I was really appreciative of that. So I'm wandering around, and it occurs to me. And I mentioned this yesterday, and maybe we'll get into this with Andy Greenwald. I mentioned this to Adam, that on in my house 24 hours a day is the Hallmark Channel, which is, if you're a man in America, there is nothing. You walk and you look, and if you watch any of these movies for 5 minutes, it's the exact same movie. It's always the same movie. Everyone looks exactly alike. Everyone's problems are exactly the same problems. There is resolution in the last 10 minutes of the movie, and then there's another movie that appears to be this movie.
Right, and then your estrogen levels go up. Yeah.
You have this at your house occasionally?
My wife watches some of the craziest crime shows where somebody's wife is always killing somebody, killing her husband or something like that.
So. You want to watch out if that's if that's thematic in your house. The Hallmark Channel, I'm not sure. I don't know how this happened, and I don't know how it has spread sort of in the water from house to house, but it's hard to find a middle-aged woman and up who's not watching the Hallmark Channel. It's like you're too young. You don't have that at your house. That's danger for you.
My wife doesn't know how to work the clicker. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and if Michael ever says to me that Liz is watching the Hallmark Channel, I'd be stunned. You don't have that at your house.
I don't think we get that.
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to get that. So all of these things in combination led me to think once again about that which I want to invent and patent and own, which is the OPN, the Old People's Network. I want to have...
They have that already. Don't they call that TV Land?
I want it to be called the Old People's Network.
OPN. I like
that. Okay, the OPN.
Yeah. That's right.
And what it is, because if you're over 60, you know, or in my case, way over 60, you don't exist. You don't exist anymore. Nobody is programming to you. The only thing that is being sold to you is adult diapers and hearing aids and things like that. Now, I'm not saying we don't need them.
Walk-in catheters.
Yeah, and that stuff, that sliding chair goes up
the stairs.
I want that up the stairs.
Michael and I have discussed
that. But apparently you have to have straight stairs. Because if you take a turn on your stairs...
You could put two in.
Yeah, it's much more elaborate.
You go to the...
transfer?
Yes.
Exactly. At the top of the stairs?
Right. Yeah.
Ring a bell? Right. Like in San Francisco and get on the other line?
Getting off at Metro Center.
Metro Center.
Red line to the orange line.
Exactly. Do I have to wait for the... Do I have to take a bus to the next train? So
Nothing. You got to wait for the safe track in your own house. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it could blow up. It could go on fire. Okay. So nothing is sold to us that we really want, and no television is aimed at us. And again, this is a way of tying in everything that's happened all week. But when I watch the Grammys, as I said, I don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
So I would think that one of the shows on the Old People's Network could be some younger people essentially doing interpretation. They are explaining to the old people that watch the Old People's Network.
What's hip?
Yeah, like, here's the Grammys. Here are five people that you might like if you gave these people a chance instead of recoiling in horror at the way they look when they come on the screen.
So, you know, ESPN now, during the college football national championship, has various different telecasts, right? They have, like, we're sitting on the couch looking at the game. We have analytics.
I don't know.
I'm just saying
the local coaches.
Yeah, that all sorts of stuff like that. You could have the Grammys or anything that's going on in normal TV, and then a sub channel for aimed at you
this
with
is the Old People's Network.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Right. Because I'm still, you know, hello, I make enough money to buy product. I actually have to live. Even though I'm old, I am alive. So if you wanted me to buy the records of some of the people on the Grammys, just explain to me who they are. Do you feel this way when you see
I do feel the same way. The Grammys, I knew maybe three of the performers.
I don't know who they are.
You know? But you don't necessarily need a whole network. How about just getting, like, you know, SAP, like the Spanish language channel you could, or subtitling that you can have.
So that it's on contemporaneously with everything else that is
exactly.
on?
Exactly.
But would you want it? So if you've got to have a lot of programming, if you have your own network, would it include both the PGA Tour and Gunsmoke? Like
Tour for sure. Yeah. But the lead guy on the Old People's Network is going to be Arch Campbell.
Right.
And perfect. Arch is just going to scream, "This is crap. I don't even want to see it anymore." And that will be the signal that we move to another line of programming. Because that'll be Arch's deal.
Now, what channel would it be? It needs to be easy to remember.
One.
Channel one. That way, if I hit that, if I just keep hitting O and I don't know what's going on.
Shows like How Does That Work? That music's too loud.
Yes.
Where am I?
Yes. Where am I today? Why are you only selling me this?
Antique Roadshow.
Can't I get real food?
And I imagine. Yeah.
Who will deliver? That's another show. Who will deliver?
Why is my gas bill $14?
Yeah. What was the weather yesterday?
That's a whole week of documentaries about that. Do we have an update?
I emailed them all. Yesterday, I emailed every single name on the list of people
for context.
Who are executives.
So great.
We have received multiple emails that have given us the emails of the executive board for Washington Gas, along with maybe home phone numbers.
Well, I'm starting out. I'm being polite and I'm coloring within the lines. I sent them all an email. It said gentlemen and lady, because there's a woman involved in that, and you don't go gentlemen and woman. It's, you know, ladies and gentlemen. And I explained who I was, and I explained the bill, and I explained I don't even use your product, and yet my bill went up 48%, and I was given such explanations as, well, we have variable costs. Like, what? What does that mean? That means nothing. Or everybody... But it was so cold in January, the hottest January
hot
on
January
record.
Ever.
It was so cold that we're trying to save. You're such a dear old man. We're trying to save you from having to put new pipes in. Come on, stop.
No, I think most of us really identify with you when you talked about being put on hold and then all of a sudden getting disconnected. You know what they're
doing. That's deliberate.
You know what they're doing. They're doing that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's deliberate, you know. So.
They probably gather around and be like, "What's this?"
Yeah, exactly.
Watch me disconnect the old man.
Yeah. We could have open forum on the Old People's Network and people with problems with their bills could just scream. Just scream.
That's a whole other network.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, there's enough programming there for 24 hours.
There's nobody that doesn't relate to that.
Absolutely.
There's nobody. I mean, you get these bills and you go, wait, just because 95% of the people, they don't even look at the bills. This is another reason why I write checks, because then I get to see the bills. The people that have the automatic deduction, you know, they don't even know. You can get fleeced with the automatic deduction.
I had no sympathy for you whatsoever. I was listening while I was at the gym. I had no sympathy for you whatsoever when I heard it was $5.
Oh,
but when you then told me about getting put on hold and then getting disconnected, That's when I got it. I got fired up because that has happened to me. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me, whether it's been with either, you know, Pepco or WSSC or DirecTV. I can't tell you how many times that's happened.
They and do it.
It sucks. And
they laugh
it
at you.
Oh, sure.
They laugh at you.
Sure.
So they got you because they got you.
And they're reading from a script.
Yeah.
The first thing they say, I'm so sorry that, you know, that you're upset. Oh, what can I do to help you
today?
They hire
only the most empathetic people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
And they spin a wheel.
They're reading.
And it lands on variable costs, bad weather.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, they make it up every time.
20% across the board. But don't worry about that because we'll refund you.
May I call you Tony, Mr. Kornheiser?
No. And I go, no. No, you can call me Mr. Kornheiser.
I make him pronounce Verluga. There's this, always this awkward pause where they try to.
You don't make him spell it.
Let me get right to it, Mr. And I just let it hang. I just how are you going to do it? What? Do it. Come on.
You know what?
Now.
You know what? That proves that's not a call coming from India.
Right. Yeah. Good call.
That call center is happening here.
So you got angry because it was, I understand it's no money at all because I don't use the product, but it could easily have been the difference between $160 and $285.
But dude, you spent Michael's inheritance on a restaurant.
I did.
I'm thinking $5. Big whoop.
I know.
But it's principle.
Getting hung up on, that for me is it. That's a deal breaker.
So that's, I mean, to me, the old people's network encompasses all of these sorts of things because you're all getting older. You don't want to think so. Everybody said, well, I'm the youngest guy in the office now. Well, but you won't be. I was the youngest guy in the office.
Would you be part of a program that talked about soup and, say, snow peas?
I could do that. I mean, I also think you have to have a good sense. You have to make fun of yourself at all times.
Of course.
I mean, and as long as you make fun of yourself, it'll work. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports will join us. We'll talk about college basketball. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Harry's ad. We talk about this all the time, how many people have Harry's razors, how many people use Harry's razors, how many people are happy with Harry's razors, but we're going to give you the nitty-gritty of the ad now. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. So Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting ripped off, started Harry's to fix shaving. I really like that. I like the notion that they're riding out like crusaders in the 1400s to fix shaving. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory. By taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close and comfortable shave, including a weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel that I can vouch for that smells very, very nice, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades that they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right, for free. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, it's a special offer for fans of this particular podcast. If you go to harrys.com right now, that's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com right now, and you enter the code TONYK at checkout, you're going to get a post-shave bomb, B-A-L-M, also free. That's harrys.com, and the code is TONYK.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sounds like a dinosaur giving birth. This is from Justin of Paul E. Justin. Paul, it's Y, Justin. My Spanish isn't that good. Paul E. Justin. They're in California. And Justin, this is their album, first album, Adrift. They have tracks up on Apple Music, Spotify, and on Bandcamp. And Justin writes, I've been catching up on the podcast on my work-related road trips throughout California. I honestly don't get a single one of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia-specific inside jokes or references like Jason Lockenfour's Baltimore voice, but I still enjoy the show and the rotating cast of guests. Thanks for using a few of our songs on the show and for making fun of our name. And so we do that continuously. Paulie Justin are playing in Pat 40, who's on the road of Yahoo. You're on the road. Where are you going?
I'm going to Knoxville, Tennessee for the SEC Swimming Championships.
And what? How many members of your family are competing in this?
Just one.
Okay.
Middle child, freshman at Georgia.
Okay. So you've got now, but you've got swimmers at Stanford, at Georgia, and one other place, or am I overrating?
Yeah. Senior at Missouri.
Right.
And then freshman at Georgia, and my daughter will be at Stanford next year. She's not there yet. She has signed and sealed, but not yet delivered.
Did you have dreams of Don Scholender when you were a kid, that you were going to establish this swimming dynasty? It's pretty damned amazing.
Yeah, we built a small shrine to Doc Councilman.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Mark Spitz, and yeah, just put the gene pool together, you know, kind of East German style, and that's the way it worked out. No, purely just happened. I did marry a college swimmer. She swam at Northwestern. So they get it from her. They get nothing from me, none of their actual attributes. A few of their detriments, maybe, from me.
It's wonderful that you're going to these meets, though. It's wonderful that you go to the meets. Yeah, I mean, you get chlorine in your hair. You can end up looking like that guy Gary Williams on Morning Drive, whose hair gets lighter almost every single day. And maybe he could tell you that was chlorine in the pool, too. I wouldn't buy that necessarily. Doesn't work on me. I got no hair. Let's go to basketball with, I think, the question of the day. If Gonzaga wins out, if they win out and they enter the tournament, something and oh, should they be the overall number one seed?
They will be. Should they be, debatable. You know, the committee is tasked with not letting previous years supposedly color their judgment, but it's hard, I think, to look at Gonzaga and say, you know, that they can win a national championship, because in the past they have not been able to get to a Final Four. They've been seeded number one before. They have not made it out of the first weekend as a number one seed. Great, great program. Mark Few has done an incredible job of making them consistent. But I don't know whether you can consider them the best team in the country. At this point, as good as they have been, I still would be hesitant to say they should be the overall number one seed.
See, I'm okay with them being the number one seed because they did everything that they had to do with their schedule. But it leads to my next question, which I wrote down last night. When do you expect them to lose in the tournament? Because I do not expect them to get to the Final Four. I just don't think you can play games for 2 months and then walk into the NCAAs knowing you had five tough games. I don't think they can get there. I don't.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem is lack of seasoning when they need it. You know, yeah, you can play tough games in December, but what's the carryover to March? In years past, they've done a good job of trying to schedule a big February game somewhere. They used to go play Memphis when Calipari was there, and both schools kind of needed that kind of game. But they don't have that this year. The West Coast Conference, other than St. Mary's and maybe BYU, is very weak. So that, I think that's the biggest problem, is all of a sudden you're going to run into teams with better athletes that can handle Gonzaga's immense size, and it comes a cropper on them. Now, when that would happen, I'd have to see a bracket, and I'm sure my bracket will win the Mr. Tony Challenge again.
Sure.
But, I'm pessimistic about their chances, I agree with you, of getting to the Final Four.
See, here's the thing. When you're a one, you can face a really tough 8-9. Wichita State got hosed 2 years ago. Didn't they end up against Kentucky in the second round or something like that? And that can happen to you. And even if you get past that, and now you're in the round of 16, those next two games are difficult. They're really difficult. And it's two difficult games in a row, and there's only a one-day layover period. And I don't think if you haven't played tough teams, I don't think you can advance. I don't.
Yeah, no, that is what happened to Wichita in 2014. Yes, they met a Kentucky team that had underachieved all year but had, you know, the best talent in the country in the second round, and Wichita's 35-0, and all of a sudden they're out. And, yeah, Gonzaga could find itself in a similar situation. Or, yes, you're facing then theoretically a number four seed that's a really good team in the Sweet 16, a number two seed that's probably a champion of a power league in a regional final. It's a tough road to hoe, especially if you're used to playing two tough games in a span of 2 months, and that's giving St. Mary's maybe excessive credit.
I didn't spend a lot of time. I was flat on my back last Friday, ill Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I'm better now, but I didn't spend a lot of time paying attention to sports for that 3-day period. I know the selection committee floated out a top 16, and I only heard about it basically on Monday, and I was stunned at this, Pat, and you pay attention to this. There were no Big Ten teams in the top 16. I understand it's a down year, but the Big Ten, I think you could probably find a Big Ten in the Final Four 12 of the last 15 years. I mean, What did you make of that?
Yeah, that was pretty eye-opening. It wasn't a complete shock. I thought Wisconsin probably would be in there and maybe Purdue as well, but they had neither. And, I mean, I think everybody that's watched the Big Ten this year has thought it's a down year for sure for the Big Ten, but that kind of reinforced it to a greater level. Indiana, you know, has fallen apart,
yeah,
probably due to injuries. Michigan State is a big disappointment, not what we expected from them. Ohio State has fallen and can't get up. Michigan is not that good. And so the league is missing a lot of its trademark depth and doesn't have that super high-quality team at the top. So that's where they are. And I think it was a real wake-up call for the league that is used to considering itself right there amongst the elite. This year it's not.
Yeah, and it's not like they're not represented on the committee. It's not like, you know, people aren't there advocating for them. They're having a down year. If we give Gonzaga one of the number ones at the moment, understanding that in the next month everything changes, but at the moment, what are your other three number one seeds?
I would say Kansas has had, played a super tough schedule and had a great season, although they have had a lot of really life and death games in the Big 12.
Just the other night.
They're going to win it. Yeah, but yeah. Every night. I mean, the Monday night, absolutely miraculous rally at home to beat West Virginia. They've already lost one game at home. So, as good as they've been, they're a number one seed. But I don't think anybody in the Big 12 even is scared of them at this point.
Right.
Beyond that, I would say whoever wins the ACC has got a very good chance. The ACC is the best league. It's certainly the deepest league. And then, if you're looking at, like, Baylor got a number one seed.
Villanova.
But I think Villanova certainly deserves the fourth one at this point. And Villanova has a great chance to repeat as champion. I went and watched them play against Xavier on Saturday, and they are as mentally tough and physically tough as they've ever been.
Thank you, by the way, for mentioning Baylor. I'm going to just go off topic completely. They've got to get the death penalty in football, don't they? I mean, there's no way out of that, is there?
This is one of those areas where does the NCAA rule book fit the rampant crimes and issues that have gone on there? I'm not sure it fits. And the NCAA went cowboy one time outside of its rules protocol with Penn State. It didn't work out too well. I said that if I were a Baylor trustee, I would advocate to do away with big-time sports. It's been... You've had two of the biggest embarrassments in the history
of college sports.
They had a murder
in basketball.
Yeah, had a murder in basketball. You've had rampant claims of sexual violence against women and systemic cover-ups of that. I mean, if I were Baylor itself, I would want to get rid of major college sports. I don't know whether the NCAA will do it, and I doubt the school will do it, but they should.
You mentioned the ACC. I'm gonna throw in a lot of teams here, although many of them are from the ACC, because it seems that every night three teams get beat who are ranked. Every night. Virginia, Florida State, North Carolina, Louisville, Arizona, Baylor, West Virginia, Oregon, even Kansas. Every night three of these teams get beat. What does that tell you about the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's indicative that there's not a superpower team out there, that there's a great deal of second-tier parity, I guess you would say, and especially in leagues like the ACC and also in leagues like the Big 12, where you get down 5, 6, 7 or good teams and can win at on any given night. Duke and Kentucky came into the season, Tony, as the teams that were supposed to be head and shoulders above everybody else. It hasn't worked out that way, largely because their freshmen aren't ready to be stars yet for the most part. They may still get it together. They may end up in the Final Four. One of them may win the national title. But thus far, it's been, another indication that more often than not, teams built around freshmen are going to struggle and struggle pretty significantly at some point in time. You may get lucky like 2012 Kentucky, 2015 Duke, and you win a title. But more often than not, it's going to be harder than a lot of people think, even if you have the best talent.
I pay attention to Duke because my daughter-in-law is a Dukie, and Duke was... it's a week and a half ago, it seems, that Krzyzewski says, take off the gear, and you can't even use the locker room anymore. And since then, they haven't lost, and they play hard teams, it seems, 90% of the time, and they win these games. I mean, I look at them, and I do look at them the way I look at Kentucky almost all the time, which is, by the end of the season, they're going to be as good as anybody else, and it's no surprise at all if they win, right? It's not.
No, I mean, I mean, seriously, if you, you know, if you want to start with the best talent, okay, yes, Duke and Kentucky have the best talent. They also have two of the best coaches, so
yeah.
It stands to reason they should be there. And I was at the Duke North Carolina game and watched, and I looked at Duke that night and said, okay, yeah, you can see it coming together. You know, you can see the freshman growing up. You can see Grayson Allen getting over the trauma he put himself through and put his team through. And I really think that's the biggest thing they needed to get over was suddenly becoming this, you know, this unbelievable melodrama there and Krzyzewski being out. And I think they just kind of had to get over themselves. And now they look very good. Now, can they keep it together? One thing I see from them, and, you know, this is an interesting dynamic. They are a very emotional team. They go way up when they make a good play, and they get very upset when they make a bad play. And sometimes I think that kind of Villanova poker face might serve a team better, especially a younger team. But when they're hitting high notes, they're certainly the most talented team out there, I believe.
All right, I get you out of here on this. It's the Jim Harbaugh story, which I just love, that he's recruiting a quarterback out of California, and he hired his dad to be a coach. And, you know, most of the time you would say, well, what is his dad? His dad drive a truck? No, his dad was an NFL coach for 10 years. It is very hard to say that the guy has no credentials whatsoever, and it's very hard not to look at Jim Harbaugh and say, you beat us again. Who other than Nick Saban, who's angry at this? Because Nick Saban's angry at everything that Harbaugh does.
Yeah, I would imagine Ohio State's angry and people that have to play Michigan. You know, it is classic. Yes, it's Harbaugh like, look, I found a loophole, and I'm going to do a jig while walking through the loophole.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? You're just going to have to deal with it. You know, it's like the announcement that they're going to go to Rome next year for spring football. I mean, it's like, I'm going to find the loophole, and I'm going to rub it in your faces.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to deal with it. It's classic Harbaugh. Yes, this guy was an NFL coach. He has an NFL background. But he's been like a high school coach for 6 years. I mean, if he were that good a coach, they could have hired him before they figured out his son was going to be a star quarterback, but they chose not to. Now they did. So I think we know what's going on, but guess what? Try and stop him.
He coached Harbaugh with the Chargers.
Yeah.
He coached Harbaugh. Yeah. Harbaugh's been sitting on this for 10 years. You know, Harbaugh has never been in the national title. It's only his third year, whatever it is. He alone has made college football 50% more interesting just by being in it. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, in our jobs, he's like manna from heaven. Like, thank you very much, Jim, for coming back to college football.
Fantastic.
We have something to talk about all the
Fantastic.
Time.
Fantastic. All right, enjoy the swim meet. I hope your kid wins, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tony.
Pat 40 of Yahoo, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are your ears bored when you're finished with my show each day? Are you looking for something new to listen to during your daily commute or workout? It's time to call an Audible. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Users can sign up as an Audible listener, which gives them book credits each month for a low monthly fee. Customers download their choices and can access them on their iPhone, Android device, Kindle, iPod, or other MP3 player. This might surprise some of you, but when I drive for more than a few hours, and I'm not counting, I like to listen to nonfiction. What? I'm smart, not dumb. Previously, though, I'd often stop in the middle of one because the CDs would start rolling around the backseat of the car and I would lose one. No matter what genre of books you read, Audible has it. Classics, a nod to the English majors, memorize a few quotes and show just how smart you are. History, romance, maybe you'll find it. Mysteries, thrillers, sci-fi and fantasy, self-development, and kids, young adult categories. Hey, we're not judging. Nobody has to know what you're listening to but you. Now I'm able to walk with my dog and listen to my favorite books, and you can too, if only Chessie would discuss each chapter with me with an eye towards language, tone, and structure. You can't make more time, but you can make the most of it. Turn your routine into something more with a free trial at Audible. Go to audible.com/Tony to start now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yeah. The track is called Planes. The artist is Xenon Superstar. And Liam Weaver writes this: I'm a millennial music producer who writes and records music onto cassettes under a cassette label that I co-founded called First Bass Tapes. After a recent recording session, I had the awkward experience of explaining to my friend Michelle that I just had to send the song she wrote to a bald orange man in Washington. See, the song she just finished singing is called Planes. It's about her fear and just general disgust with flying. And it was written before business class came to mean the area of the plane that dogs did their business. I saw this song as an opportunity for Mr. Tony to connect with a millennial so he can help Wilbon understand that us millennial and newspaper-era sports writers are more similar than we are different. So this is really nice. And he would be thrilled, Liam would be thrilled to have this played on the show. And once Chad has its jukebox, there's hours of music for millennial littles to contribute, which is very, very nice. Michael, when you have music like this and you want to send it to us, how do you do it?
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And Nigel is working on a way to play the songs
we're doing
at the
it.
End.
Oh, you didn't, yeah. You didn't listen yesterday.
Yes.
So you just made a decision on that?
No. It's a trial. There's other issues, but we're moving forward with it. We will do it as best we can to put up the songs every day at the end of the
show.
That's
wonderful.
And that's what we did yesterday, and we'll do it today.
That's an Isaacson idea. Yes. So you have news for us.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony, and some tough news for Cleveland yesterday when they found out that Kevin Love's going to miss about 6 weeks due to knee surgery.
Here we go again.
Sorry about that, Leon. They had faced a tough test for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Well, it's not really a tough test.
Well, it could have been without Kevin
Minnesota
Love.
Minnesota isn't any good.
And there's concern about LeBron James playing too many minutes, so he played 40 minutes last night, and they ended up winning 116-108.
Here is a direct quote from LeBron James, who is beginning, as DeAndre Jordan would say, to smell himself just a little bit. Direct quote. As long as I'm in the lineup, we've got a chance. I'm their commander. I'm their leader. Okay, stop. You're the best player in basketball, and everybody understands that, and you won the championship last year. I don't think you have to make these sorts of pronouncements. The problem with Cleveland is in the absence of Kevin Love, LeBron James is going to play even more minutes. He leads the league in minutes. He's in his 14th season. Mm. He plays such a physical style. If there was no such person as Russell Westbrook, you would look at LeBron James and you would go, a person cannot sustain that over some long period of time. And this to me, Leon, This is a coaching problem and a general manager problem. And you sit down with LeBron James, you say, you know what? It's okay if we finish second or third. It's okay in the conference. It doesn't matter. We're the champions. We're getting the guy back with 2 weeks to go before the playoffs. Why don't you not kill yourself?
No, I you know what? I've thought about that. I don't know. I'm suspicious of their psychological fragility, because if you tell them it's okay to come in third, you know, what does that do for them? Is this the kind of team, because of the fact that they're so thin? I mean, really, if you get past number six or seven on that team, you're looking at the rest of their team from eight on down looks like everybody else in the East, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right. Psychologically, if they don't win, if they don't come in at first, do they go into the playoffs strong enough to go ahead and do what we all expect them to do?
Win the East.
I don't know now, because the Celtics are looking good. You know, Toronto made a huge move by getting Ibaka.
The Wizards are actually looking good.
And the Wizards are looking good.
Barry, I think LeBron is to blame for LeBron.
I mean, I think that's it's a reasonable thing. But I mean, what, you know, we've already talked about this. This is a guy who is very clearly in midstream considering his legacy, which I just think is an odd thing when you're in the middle. You know, he's on the backside of his career, but not so back that he can see the end. It's just,
well, he can win championships.
He can win championships. Yeah, he can win MVPs. Sure. He can do more. It's almost like every action is, how am I going to be viewed in 10, 15, 20 years? Not how am I going to get this team that I have now to the finish line and win another championship. He's in a way, he's putting the cart before the horse because he's considering how he'll be viewed in the future, not considering that, hey, if we all do this now, that will enhance how I'm viewed in the future.
You said, here we go again, like this is a terrible thing that happened to Cleveland because of Kevin Love's injury, but there's no reason to believe he's not going to come back and be... In other words, to me, it's if I'm paying Kevin Love, I'm not paying Kevin Love for what he does now. Mm-hmm. I'm paying him to win four playoff series starting in April.
Yeah, but my memory goes back to 2 years ago when this team, because of injuries to him,
that's
and
right,
Kyrie Irving. If it hadn't been for those two being on the bench or being in the locker room with those
that's
injuries,
right,
they could have won that series. And as a matter of fact, they almost did without them. So
yes,
that's why I'm saying here we go again with all that.
Because I could push back last year and I could say to you that if Draymond Green wasn't right. railroaded right. into missing a game, right. nonsense.
Well, they, you know, that's the universe working things out because they probably right. should have won the one 2 years ago, maybe right. lost one last year. But here's the other thing, too. It's not just Kevin Love coming back. J.R. Smith is
he's
also
coming back.
Coming back about the same time. So you have to refigure.
Going to wear a shirt, I hope.
No. I just hope he has a decent thumb. But the thing is, though, they got to rejigger their chemistry. They haven't played together.
I understand, but that shouldn't be quite that hard because last year that was the team, yeah, and they won the championship.
But yeah, but they'll be just – it's almost like they'll be starting from scratch going into the stretch into the playoffs. How long
That's
did,
right.
You know, you looked at the, you know, Kevin Durant joining the Warriors. It took a while for them to figure things out.
They figured it out.
They figured it out.
They're,
all right.
They're great.
So how long will it take for the Cavaliers to figure things out when they get back to full strength?
I would think 3 weeks at the most. I mean, because these guys have been through this with these guys.
Yeah.
With these guys. I would not be as pessimistic as you are. What else you got?
The Nationals made a signing the other day. It should be official after a physical. They signed first baseman outfielder Adam Lind, who is 33, will be 34 this July. Little bit of pop. He's had 20 home runs, I believe, 6 seasons, including 3 of the last 4. They'll owe him $1 million for next year.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's in baseball.
It's yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. So we turn to Berrys Valuga. Yeah. Is this a good
signing? Okay, so yeah, it is. I mean, it's two things. One, it means, I mean, this is as local as it gets. It means the death of Clint Robinson, who was the left-handed bat off. Yeah, he was terrible last year. I mean, he seriously was. After the All-Star break, he did not have an extra base hit. That's not okay. That's not okay.
I didn't realize that.
So, not an extra base hit.
So he, or I'll look it up. It's either that or not an RBI. It was.
Either's
that,
bad.
Very good.
Yeah, pick your poison. I like Clint very much. This is a major league signing. Now, the more interesting element of this is if Ryan Zimmerman struggles to start the season, now you're looking at a left-handed hitter who can play first base. Do you end up with a platoon situation there? This guy, he was on the market for a while because he's coming off a fairly poor year with Seattle. But he's a proven hitter, as Nigel said, 20 homers 6 times, including 35 with Toronto a while ago. A very good bargain basement signing.
Okay.
But doesn't he have to play every day, every game?
No.
To hit as well as he does?
No. I think this is a veteran guy. With a young player, you worry about, okay, can he come off the bench cold and get, you know, 7 at-bats a week or something like that. This is a guy who's an established professional hitter and could do that.
He also doesn't strike out a whole lot.
Correct.
As opposed to the bloke Chris Carter that we talked about, who got signed by the Yankees.
Strikes out 250 times. Or Michael A. Taylor, who strikes out 7 times in a game.
Correct. Which is not good for a leadoff.
Seven times in 5 at-bats.
Yeah, it's not.
Hard to do.
What is the fascination with him? Yeah. You know, stop. Okay.
Staying local, Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins have talked about signing a long-term deal, talked about the franchise tag, but apparently not much has gone on, and time is running out.
Barry, are they going to franchise him again? Here would be my worst fear. If you franchise a quarterback for the second time, even though you're now paying him $24 million.
That's right.
And he hasn't signed, and he has 2 offensive coordinators in the West Coast at the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers, you're not going to keep him. He's going to go.
That's the only conclusion. And then then the 2017 season is just kind of a pause because
it's a lame duck season.
I mean, they could accomplish whatever. They could go to the NFC Championship game, but how do you then? Cousins, as we've talked about, staked out his territory from the moment the Giants game ended. After he threw that egregious pick and he was asked afterward about coming back, and he said, hey, look, the ball's in their court. He did not stand there and say, I want to be here. This is where I got my chance. He knows how this is playing out. I mean, how do you not get that deal done so that you can start asking other questions about your roster?
And who else is there to dance with?
So, and that's the issue. And we can and we will with Kirk Cousins go over his deficiencies and can he get it done at crunch time? But when you look at
he's
better than more than half the guys. And how many towns are not happy with their quarterback? I mean, you know, people who have the, in Indianapolis, Andrew Luck was considered an absolute shoo-in every year.
Lock.
They're wondering about almost every town that's not Foxborough wonders about their quarterback at this
point. Not to paint too grim a picture, is this year four for Gruden?
Yes, 4 out of 5.
So and there's
they
there's
could the, all be washed
exactly.
out.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
They
is
could
like,
all be washed
yeah,
out.
Yeah, if they have a substandard year, they'd be like, all right, let's just flush everything. They
and could. Here we go again.
Okay,
Lord.
Go ahead,
Mr. Tony. This is a very disturbing story. It was A1 in the Washington Post. It's about a Taekwondo athlete.
It's about a coach.
Well, yeah,
on the national team.
Yeah,
it's
Yasmin
sexual
Brown.
Abuse is
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, it's really it's a terrible. Disturbing story. She was 16. And claimed she was sexually
and
assaulted.
And not the only one.
Yeah, it turns out there was others that were accused.
No, awful.
And when she brought up these concerns, this is essentially an Olympic sport, brought concerns about her coach, Mark Gittleman.
It's terrible.
Everyone sort of stood on the sidelines because they were afraid of being sued by the coach. So they allowed the coach to continue to coach her and other kids for over a year.
The complicity of that is terrible.
And this includes the United States Olympic Committee.
To read the story. People should read the story.
Yes.
Read the story.
Will Hobson, who did the story, is a tremendous reporter. And he's digging into these issues and he's going to uncover
it.
Some
breaks
stuff.
Your heart to read that. It really does. It's very well written. I know. In this room, there's been a lot of clamoring for the Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight.
So
you really think it's going to happen?
I don't know if it's going to happen. There's a lot of money on the table, but I'm watching television this morning, and I hear somebody say everybody wants to see this.
No,
and I mean I just polled the people in the room I was in.
Who?
What? I didn't really want to see it.
No.
I will say this. Conor McGregor strikes me as a guy who knows how to build a gate.
Yes.
I mean, he'll say anything at any time. And if as long as they're not going to kick foot fight, they're going to if it's going to be boxing.
Yeah. So that's why if you're Floyd Mayweather.
I don't see how he could lose. If you're Floyd Mayweather, I don't know how you could lose.
Right.
You're fighting a guy with one hand or two legs tied behind his
the
back.
The guy can't kick you in the head. He can't whirl around and kick you in the groin. He can't do that.
Yeah.
So all he's got are his hands.
Right.
And maybe his hands are fast and maybe he's powerful, but he ain't Floyd Mayweather.
No, and Mayweather can do what he always does. He can run for 11 rounds.
So no,
if he has to.
No mixed martial arts on the OPN?
We could have people explain it to
that's
us.
That's on the show called What's This?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, right. Gotcha.
What are they talking about?
Why is this a thing?
Would you cover it? You're a columnist. Would you go cover it?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not. I mean, we have enough. Maybe it would strike somebody's fancy. It would not strike mine.
Would you go see it? Would you spend money on it?
No. I've said many times, I would never pay money to go see a Floyd Mayweather fight because I don't want to watch a guy run for 11 rounds.
Are you not even intrigued by the notion of this Conor McGregor person?
Nope.
Who's like a whirling dervish.
It's all hype. He's a hype machine. And what this is great for, UFC fighting. He puts them on the map. He gets people talking about them. We're talking about it now. We wouldn't be talking about this ordinarily.
Right. He's already turned. They offered him $25 million. He goes, no.
Yeah. And this builds him up. He probably gets a couple more endorsement deals out of this whole thing.
Can I say, Matt, forget my aesthetic criticism of that kind of fighting.
Right.
If you step back from this, it's been going on now for 10 or 12 years.
Yes.
These guys have 3 to 5 fights in them, and then they're done. Someone beats them, and they disappear. They make a comeback. They get beat again. Mm-hmm. It's over. Their careers, they're like fireflies. That's it.
Well, have you seen what happens to them? I mean, it's brutal.
Yes. I'm not even making that criticism.
It's Roman gladiator type brutal.
Well, that's one of the things that makes Conor McGregor special, is that he has been around for a while.
Has he? How many fights has he done?
I don't know.
I would have said three to. It's usually three to five.
No.
Bring in these monsters.
Check it out.
Who are on complete? They're not only just on steroids.
The heavyweights. Yeah.
They're taking steroids like eating eggs.
Yes.
And then they get in a fight and something happens and 2 months later you find out they were so juiced up that when you put them in the meter. They just blew up.
Meter blows up.
Blew up.
Yes, the steroid meter.
You know, yeah.
He's been active since 2008. 24 fights, 21 wins.
Oh, but how many in the public eye?
Well, I'm assuming that those all were.
He's one of the biggest draws in UFC.
In the last few years.
I'm not an expert on UFC in case anybody
says he's
good. And by the way, what he's actually probably about 5'5" or 5'6" and weighs 120.
Yeah, he says 5'9", weighs 155 pounds.
What, he doesn't look like 155, maybe.
He can take a punch. You know, so if he does, if the fight does actually happen, maybe it'll be something to watch for a second. But I'm telling you, it's not going to be fun. You look, remember all the hype about Muhammad Ali fighting, I don't know, fighting a horse or whatever it was he did?
He fought the Japanese martial arts guy, the sumo guy who lay on the ground and tried to kick him.
It's like a carnival act. It's a carnival act.
That's exactly what it is.
It's Rocky 3 when Rocky takes on Hulk Hogan, right? And that you are looking at me like you don't know the movie.
I'm not familiar with the Rock, yeah, as you are, or the really? Star or the Clever Star Land? Trek, or
Star Trek, Wars, Star Wars,
whatever. It begins with Star. Star 99.
Now what on LPN.
That's
Star
it.
Star Wars Another explained.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we're done. Yeah, we're done.
Yes, we are.
Fine. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. Andy Greenwald will join us to talk about television. Another thing that I don't watch anymore because. It's not aimed at me. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the Blue Apron, Reed. I am solidly behind Blue Apron. I had very good experiences with it. I recommend it to all of you people out there as just something to do that's sort of fun for a while. Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference. It's important to know where your food comes from. Blue Apron can give you these things that are important. It's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They give you variety. You choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year. You will never get bored. It's flexible. You can customize your recipes each week based on your own preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options. You can choose what fits your personal needs. There's no weekly commitment. You only get deliveries when you want them. It's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. You got to pay attention. I mean, part of the fun is actually preparing it and cooking it, and you have to pay attention in doing that. It's not going to be done in 10 minutes, and you don't want it to be, because the pride factor is, I put all these things together, and now I'm watching them cook, and then I'm going to eat it. So the rushing through it makes no sense. It's guaranteed. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, BLUEAPRON. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. It's blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. This is the fabulous Linda Ronstadt. This is You're No Good. This hit number one 42 years ago today. In terms of critical commentary, I love Linda Ronstadt. I mean, Linda Ronstadt is a great talent. She was so beautiful, too. I mean, just physically so beautiful. And in that period of time when anybody from the East Coast or the Midwest looked at California and said, wow, they look that good in California. Let's go to California. And there are people, she was a superstar, and I mean, you can't emphasize this enough. There have been women who are great, great performers. And for me, at my age group, Madonna comes to mind right away. And I would say that the difference between Madonna and Linda Ronstadt is that it always seemed that Madonna had calculated the arc of her career. She was really smart and decided, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it. And maybe Linda Ronstadt did that too, but I didn't think so. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, Linda Ronstadt seemed sort of natural and just had sprung up from the earth in the middle of the night one night. She has Parkinson's now.
Yeah.
It's sad. And she's written books and things like that.
Helped start the Eagles. I mean, Donnelly and Fry were backup band.
Okay. She was originally in a group called the Stone Ponies.
Yes, that's right.
And Michael Nesmith of the Monkees wrote a song for her.
It was Beat the Drum or Bang the Drum.
It wasn't, no. Bang the Drum was a movie.
No, I'll find it.
But you figure it out.
Yes.
Andy Greenwald joins us now. We haven't had Andy on since since the podcast. And the last time I talked to Andy, of course, he was writing for Grantland, and Grantland doesn't exist anymore. And now I find out that Andy is you're writing television shows. This is what you're doing now. You cross the river Styx, right, to write.
I've switched sides, but I've actually switched more than that. I'm talking to you from a dark California street. I'm out here in search of Linda Ronstadt.
Oh, that's yeah.
I'm staring at a palm tree, hoping to find one of my own.
Yeah. So tell me about why you're writing and what you're writing, and beyond that, I come from that generation where everybody at one point or another in the 1970s or 1980s tried to write a screenplay, and almost everybody failed at it because it's much different than being a writer. Writing dialogue, moving a story along, being aware of how it will look is much different than sitting and writing a novel. So what's the difference for you?
It is, and I appreciate you saying that. I think the biggest difference by far is the existence of a free lunch, because when you work in a TV writer's room, they order you lunch at the beginning of the day.
Fantastic.
And you can choose almost anything. That alone got me on an airplane out here, because that's much better than sitting alone in your apartment working on some review. No, but I had a really amazing and fortunate opportunity because, as you know, Grantland ended, and
yep,
that was terrible. But right before it ended, I was headed out the door already, and a guy called Noah Hawley, who created the TV show Fargo, which is excellent, gave me a call out of the blue. I didn't know him. He was had been on my podcast for Grantland. So this really all comes back to podcasts as well. And asked me if I'd come out and help him work on a project. And I had nothing on my calendar. And as I said, I love free lunches. So
yeah,
I took him up on it. And it was a great experience. And at the end of that project, he said, "Do you want to hop on the show Legion that I'm putting together?" And that was a year ago. And now that show's just premiered. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a lot more collaborative, you know, and it's a lot less sitting in your sweatpants at home wishing someone would order you lunch. So far, I'm all in.
Well, all right, first of all, I'm going to segue for a second and repeat something that happened to me when I did that one day on The Americans. I don't know how any sort of actor or somebody who's just sort of in scenes in the crowd, I don't know how they weigh less than 300 pounds, because all there is everywhere you go on a television show is food. That's all there is food, right? How do you not weigh 310?
Well, I think you've keyed in on something very crucial for why Hollywood survives and exists, which is that writers are generally not allowed on set. They filmed Legion in Vancouver, and I was never allowed to leave the country, because if I had, you know, they have free breakfast bars, they serve you lunch. None of that for me.
Craft services.
Pretzel bits and lunch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so you're writing a show called Legion. I'm unfamiliar with Legion. What is the essence of Legion?
Legion, it's an FX drama series from Noah Hawley, who did Fargo. I was a tiny cog. I was one of the monkeys banging on the typewriters in the back. This was Noah Hawley's show.
Right.
But it's basically a very loose and hopefully creative adaptation of an obscure X-Men character. It's basically about a guy who is either crazy or the most powerful mutant in the world. And it's very stylized, very like 1960s cinema influence, Wes Anderson, Kubrick. I mean, it's a visually really exciting show, and hopefully it's a lot of fun. A lot of people say they don't understand it yet, but after years as a critic, watching things where people telegraph exactly what they're doing, just like you were doing at the bar in The Americans, I'm excited to be confused.
Well, see, now this leads me into something. And earlier in the show, and you wouldn't know because you weren't on the show earlier, I talked at great length of wanting to create the old people's network so that people of my age can have the contemporary culture explained to them. Every once in a while, I'm on a channel, and there's a promo for some new show. Maybe it's Legion, maybe it's a show Stranger Things, maybe it's a show about zombies or whatever, but it seems like there are no quiet dramas anymore. It seems like everything is science fiction of a sort that for somebody like me, I'm not particularly interested in that, even though, you know, I love the movie The Martian, but I don't want to sit down with a television show that forces me to deal with a reality that I know is not true. And I'm wondering, are there quiet dramas being written anymore, or does everything have to have not exploding hallways, but sort of people with superpowers that extend beyond reality's limits?
I think that's a great question, and I think that's one of the reasons why you and I both think The Americans is the best drama on TV, because it is the quietest, it's the most internal, most about just people's emotional lives, and then, yeah, there's spy stuff thrown on top of it. what you're talking about really highlights a problem that's been happening in TV ever since the so-called golden age, which is basically an increased blockbusterization of TV. Yeah. In the same way you need tapes to sell a movie in Hollywood, right now you need a big, chewy hook to get something made because there's so many things on the air and so much competition for eyeballs. So what I would suggest to you is actually, this might go in a totally different direction, but there's a sitcom on Netflix, which is a remake of One Day at a Time, Norman Lear show from the 70s. Norman Lear produced The Update.
With Valerie Bertinelli, that show?
Bonnie Franklin.
Snyder. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a remake, reimagining of it. Now it's about a family of Cuban Americans living in Echo Park, Los Angeles. And there's a wacky neighbor. His name is Schneider.
Schneider.
But this show somehow manages to be the most emotionally complex, most topical political show, and still funny, and still have a studio laugh track. And I don't know how they did it, but at this point, that sitcom format almost feels like Shakespeare. You know, like it's this old thing that can somehow be mutable and be updatable. And I think it's getting a younger audience. It's pretty exciting.
Andy, can I get that on what I like to laughingly refer to as a TV, or does this have to be some streaming service that I don't even understand?
Well, the best thing is you can get the Netflix streaming onto your TV. Maybe Nigel can help you or one of the other people over there. But it's only Netflix, but it is watchable on your TV. I have faith that it can happen.
Okay, so this is the other one of the larger questions I have is about this, the delivery system of all of these shows. It appears like at any given point there are 10,000 shows in development that some of us can see and some of us can't see, depending upon how things are delivered to us. There can't be that many good ideas. There's an explosion of shows. Is that sort of lessening the quality of these shows?
The broad answer to that is yes. There are simply too many shows. But now, I used to complain about that as a critic because, you know, I had to watch them all. As a viewer, it's kind of the all-you-can-eat salad bar problem. It's not really a problem because there's so many choices. It might be fun for you to have pancakes and tacos and kale salad all at the same time. But from a production standpoint, 400 scripted shows made last year, there simply aren't that many good scripts. There aren't that many actors, production people, all to go around. And so what we're seeing now, it's not going to last either. I do think that what we're seeing is kind of a Mad Max Road Warrior style battle for these networks and services to be the survivors for whatever comes next. They're trying to build up a library so they can win and move on to the next round when the inevitable bubble pops.
The last show that I watched all the way through was The Night Of. That's the last one. I jump on something here or there. Last night I got to the fourth episode of Homeland, and I just, you know, when it was over, I just sort of shrugged and I said, where are we going? I mean, it's not that I want everything telegraphed, but I want to have some sense of the orbit that we're flying in. And I didn't get that yet. And I'm wondering, you know, what did you think of The Night Of, and what are the shows out there where you would say, you've got to try this, you've got to at least try this?
Well, I think with Homeland, we're getting Peter Quinn up to the Emmy podium. I think that's what he's headed for. I mean, that's what this whole season is about. I haven't seen seizures like that since De Niro in the 70s.
It's just awful.
It's too much. Awful. I loved The Night Of. I'm glad you watched it.
Yeah.
The Night Of was just so immersive. You know, it's such a classic crime novel kind of setting. But
I didn't know that kid was
directed.
British. I found out last week that kid was British. I had no idea. Everybody's British. You're probably
right. Riz Ahmed, one of the best secretly British actors working, I would say. Yeah. Another one is Jason Isaacs, who was with him in a Netflix show called The OA. Riz Ahmed everywhere, on Girls this week, too. Suddenly, and in Star Wars this past year.
Huh.
But, but The Night Of was an example of what this era of TV can do best. When you have a network like HBO that has the money and the resources and the time. I mean, this was a project developed by James Gandolfini before he passed. And they committed to it, and they kept working it, and they got Turturro into it, and they got such a great New York cast. There are going to be a lot more prestige things like that. But I also think in a move that's good for you, there'll be a lot more things like that in the sense that it's limited. It's a 7-8 hour commitment.
That's
you don't have
fine.
To worry about season two. You don't have to worry about more stories or, you know, how Peter Quinn is going
to
survive.
No, I want one story. Just take me to the end of the story. I'm told you like The Young Pope.
I love The Young Pope. It's a trip. The Young Pope is a sign of, I think we're headed in a bunch of different directions in TV. There's the superhero capes and zombies. There's the nostalgia that we covered with One Day at a Time. There's the prestige miniseries. And then there's something like The Young Pope, which is just insanity because they got this Italian filmmaker, Paolo Sorrentino, who makes these sumptuous, Fellini-esque, totally internal, oddball movies like The Great Beauty. And they said, do whatever you want. Here's 10 hours of television. and he made a show about a hot pope played by Jude Law, and it's just, it's trippy. There's a kangaroo in it, you know, so for me, again, having had to watch so much dull TV, bring me the kangaroos, but it's not necessarily for everybody.
Can I tell you my idea of hell, and I talked about this yesterday and a little bit today, when I walk into my house and the Hallmark Channel is on, I know I've gone to hell. Can you explain to me the Hallmark Channel on any level?
No, you know, luckily, one of the nice things about working for Bill Simmons at Grandland is that he told me the things I didn't have to do, and watch the Hallmark Channel was one of them. Is it just that there are these sort of sappy movies that they run constantly? Is that the
same movie? It's just the same movie. Sometimes it's in the summer, and sometimes it's in the winter. It's always at a park, and it's always some love triangle.
It's for women.
And at the end, you know, everyone's triumphant. It's just, I'm telling you, you want to just stick a fork in your eyeball, and it's on, and it's just on. I can't stand
it. The funny thing for me about TV now is that for as much of the conversation is about, a great Italian filmmaker is making a sumptuous miniseries about the Pope, 90% of television is still people watching things like HGTV to find out what kind of sconce to put in.
Yeah,
you know, people use TV in different ways, and we just don't cover most of it. So it's out there.
All right, let me circle back to Legion for a second and the fact that you're writing these shows. You say it is collaborative. But do you have ever the anxiety, I'm not collaborating enough. Enough of my words aren't in here. They didn't take my idea for the next scene. What am I doing here? Is there anxiety to that if you're not in charge?
No, I appreciate that. I think the ego has to get checked at the door usually, right around the security when you're driving on the lot. And luckily, I still do my podcast, The Watch, to have my own ego filled in that way. But okay. But to be in a room like this, you know, I was on the writing staff of the show for 10 weeks. I did not write an episode. None of the scripts will say by Andy Greenwald. It was just me and four other writers supervised by Noah. And then you talk about story and you talk about ideas in between mouthfuls of free burritos. And by the end of it, it's this weird process that is incredibly inefficient. It doesn't make any sense. But somehow a show emerges. And at a certain point, you kind of can't tell what was your idea and what wasn't because you've just been in it for so long. And it's very fun, but it is completely a different muscle than the one that you're used to and the one I was used to at Grandland, where you're just sitting banging out a column and it's 100% you and you got to take the blame or the credit for it.
Okay, so when you read a review of Legion and somebody nails it pretty good, are you upset at that? Do you want someone killed?
Then I just call the critic because I know him from back when I was a critic.
Oh, okay.
Guy. What are you doing? What are you doing to me? You're killing me. I would never use an adjective like that. No, luckily, again, it's because it's collaborative. You could say, well, you know, it's an interesting point, but so far I'm not getting too high or too low on it. I was just I was a hired hand and it was fun to do it.
All right. So it's on FX, Legion?
It's on FX, yeah. Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
And that's on TV, Tony. That's not streaming.
No, real TV. I can find it on real TV at some point.
You could.
Thanks, Andy. Talk to you soon, I hope.
Thanks, Tony. Always great.
Andy Greenwald, boys and girls. Lots of fun. We will take a break. We will come back with email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's time for Tony's back.
Here comes Tony's mailbag.
Now here comes Tony's back.
Send him your emails and notes.
And don't send him faxes. It's time for Tony's back.
Here comes Tony's mailbag.
Now here comes Tony's.
He'll read some for all of you folks.
Jason Fuse, there's some talent there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
There's some talent there. Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports and Danny Greenwald for coming on with us. I also want to thank our sponsors today, Blue Apron, Harry's Razors, and Audible. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Charles Newkirk in Houston, Texas, for years, I've tried to get the woman to whom I'm related by marriage to become a little. Many times she has seen me walking around with headphones and laughing, and she knows I'm listening to an aging, orange, bald man from D.C. She has constantly refused based on the basis of not being a sports fan. I've told her repeatedly that it's a sports show that has very little to do with sports, to no avail. But alas, Mr. Porthauser, I texted her the gas bill pod. Yes, Pops, you can actually text the podcast to a person. I had no idea. And told her to start exactly at the 102.21 mark. Minutes later, she texted back, I love him. Your rant about Washington gas created a new little, this one being a 34-year-old mother of two that rolls her eyes at any sporting event. It's a testament to how wonderfully talented you and the crew are. Thanks for the years and hours of entertainment.
I told you, all of us get that.
Brenda Kramer, Los Angeles, California. I was listening to your show yesterday afternoon as I slowly crept along in bumper-to-bumper traffic on the 405 North. Any Southern California native feels my pain. During the trivia segment, I nearly rear-ended the car in front of me due to my screaming out the answer to one of the only questions Liz did not answer correctly. Last Wednesday, my girlfriend and I were baking lemon bars using her grandmother's recipe for the members of all of our girls' dodgeball league. The recipe was handwritten, most ingredients listed out as they normally would be, except for butter. The recipe for the crust called for 1 cup of butter, which neither of us had ever seen before. A cup of butter. All sticks of butter are labeled in tablespoons. We had to break out the handy-dandy Google machine and convert cups to tablespoons. We were a little surprised and a little disgusted that we were about to put 16 tablespoons of butter into one mixture and then subsequently put that into our bodies. The bars were amazing. They should be a staple at business class. Anyway, I love your show, and I would like to extend my dearest apologies to anyone on the 405 who heard me yelling 16 at the top of my lungs around 3 p.m. yesterday. Felt nice to get an answer right. Brenda Kramer, Los Angeles. Mark, Lovettsville, Virginia, long time, only time. It gave me profound joy to hear that you have the financially emotional fortitude to endure the massive hike in your gas bill, easier than Chuck Bell can endure the career-limiting cold front heading in from the Richmond market. But it begs the question, if you're not using the service, then honestly, what the bleep are we doing here? Cut off the service, old man River. Rather than tossing your 14 bucks into the Washington gas morass, you could help the truly needy by donating your monthly remittance to Save Channel 4 Bell Kickstarter campaign. It's interesting.
It's an idea.
Stephen Halter, Satchmar, my Legion idol. I absolutely love to hear the trivia segment on the podcast, but although I hate to say it, you need to change the cast. Liz is simply killing everyone and makes all those appearing with her look like idiots.
Does.
I see two ways to fix this. One, don't let Liz play, or B, get other really smart people on the show to compete against her. I mean, really, the whole thing is totally embarrassing to everyone who isn't named Liz. Well, that would be me.
Yeah. And David,
and
right?
David.
Yeah.
We're the idiots. Me and David.
We've established that.
From Seth Tibbs, I was listening to the podcast yesterday. I heard you bring up the Oroville Dam situation in California. As a little who is a budding civil engineer, I thought I could shed some light on what failure means for hydraulic structure such as a dam. Failure refers to the dam being unable to discharge water at its design rate, which would result in large-scale flooding downstream of the dam. While there has been structural damage due to erosion on the emergency spillway, the worry is not that the dam will collapse structurally, but that Lake Oroville will rise to a level that will cause the hydraulic structures to fail and cause flooding in the downstream areas. I consistently listen to the podcast between classes or while I'm plugging away at trying to salvage this country's crumbling infrastructure left to us by our forebears. Thanks for that.
Information for life.
Sean Graham in Los Angeles. Mr. Tony, while you correctly guest Bender was from the Breakfast Club, you mistakenly referred to him as the principal. John Bender was actually the jean jacket clad boy played by Judd Nelson. As he said, "Do I stutter?" His nemesis was Vice Principal Richard Vernon, who famously warned Bender, "Mess with the bull, you get the horns, boy." From Steve Harold in Louisville, Kentucky. Did I just hear Mr. Tony say there's an LLC named This Show Stinks LLC? If so, I have the greatest idea ever for you. Name your price. How about 50 or 100 bucks? And I'll send it to you for a membership interest in the LLC. You just have to get one of your D.C. lawyer friends to set it up like the Green Bay Packers, where the stock certificate are basically worthless other than sentimental value. I have 5 shares of those. That'd be so cool to have hanging in my office with my Packers stock. Think about how much more money you could make for basically doing nothing. Oh, wait a minute. You're already doing that. Think about how much more money you could make. You're out on your bike tonight, everyone. Do wear white.
And boom goes the dynamite.